you were here. For several weeks, Pastor Wellen and I have been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Talking about how God has come to dwell in us. His very Spirit lives in us. And when he came with that fruit, he gave us the ability to lean on the Spirit that's been reborn in us to know how to and learn how to do different things, and not only in our own strength. It's not through our self-control, but through the self-control of God, the temperance. The kindness that we have is in us. We just have to activate it. The patience that we're looking for, we don't have to pray for more patience. It's already in us. We just need to activate it. And so when you move out in the Spirit of God, you move in those gifts, right? I call the fruit a gift because it truly is a blessing for us. When you move out, when you walk out in that, when you walk out in the opposite of that or in opposition of what God has already given you, then you walk out in your flesh, and against those things there's law, meaning there's consequences. And we've been trying to explain to you what you probably already know, but hearing comes by faith, right? Or faith comes by hearing. That the more you implement things that God has already given us, the better your life can be. So again, my mandate in life is I want to build strong families in the Lord. I want to see you succeed, both spiritual health, mental health, physical health. I want to see you succeed in all areas of life. Amen? So the title of today's message is Success is a Battle Between Wants. Who's ever had a battle between wants? I want to be healthy, but I want this instead. Are you guys with me? I want to be closer to God, but yet I want to watch this TV show instead of spend time with him. There's all kinds of things that we want in life. What we have to determine in life is what is the bigger want, what is the better want, what is going to serve the kingdom of God and our benefit versus serving the world and just causing more havoc for us. Did you know every good and perfect gift comes from God above? Did you hear me? Every good and perfect gift comes from God. He put that in Scripture for a reason, so that we understood that every good and perfect gift comes from God. So the good thing that you want, that successful area, you need to determine, how then do I line myself up to get in that direction? How do I do that? And so I just spoke earlier after worship, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. If you want to be successful in an area in your life, look to him and not to the circumstances around you. Don't look at the problems. They're always going to be there. But at some point in time, people, we have to realize that God is bigger than any problem we will ever have. Amen. At some point in time, we have to say, you know what? There's a problem, but my God's bigger. Yeah. Is your God bigger? My God is, and I have to remind myself that. I have to remind myself every day that, you know what, this isn't going to take me out, and whether I go home to be with the Lord or whatever the case may be, it's win-win. It's win-win, meaning there is no failure in your life as a Christian, right? There's no failure. Who's ever failed at something? Okay, did you know that failing at something and being a failure are two different things? So my wife isn't in here. She's with children ministry, but I'll talk about my marriage. So this December coming up. You know, this is mine, right? Yeah, it's being recorded so she can go back. This December coming up will be 25 years that we've been married. Now, I want to tell you something. In those 25 years, I have failed a lot as a husband. But, yes, she'll tell you yes, right? I'm only saying what she tells me all the time. No, I'm just kidding. But in those 25 years, I have failed as a husband, meaning I'm not perfect, right? It's a journey that we go through that we have to grow and learn. Because I failed doesn't mean my marriage is a failure. You see, we're celebrating 25 years in December because our marriage is a success. So what I'm trying to relay to you is that just because you fail at something doesn't mean you're a failure. When you fail at something, that means you just need to do it over again a different way. If you continue to do it the same way, you will continue to get the same results. And so God has laid out lots of stories in the Bible of how people wanted some sort of success in their life and how they went about getting it. And I'll lay out three different stories specifically, and the notes are in your, or the scripture verses are in your notes that you were handed today. So if I would not have learned from those things that I failed in my marriage, then my marriage would have failed, and that would have been a failure. But because I've learned from areas that I've been short in, or whatever the case may be, and learned how to regroup and push through that, my marriage is a success. And so now we're our best friends. October will be 26 years together. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm only 27, so I don't know how that happened. I'm just stealing from you guys, right? So the question is, what do you want out of life? Do you guys want something?
Yeah.
I think everybody wants something, right?
Amen.
My wants may be different than your wants, but I believe that all of us want something. I want something, right? I do want for all of you to be spiritually healthy, and I do want for all of you to be physically healthy. I want you to be financially healthy. I want you to be healthy in all areas. And I want those same things for my wife and I. And I know putting God number one in my life is the number one way to succeed in all those areas.
Yes, sir.
And so I have to determine every Sunday with joy in my heart, I'm getting up and I'm going to church. And you know what? I'm not going to miss a Bible study. And you know what? I am going to read my Bible. And you know what? I am going to pray. Because I know that all of those things, and I am going to worship. And I am going to have regular fellowship with other believers. I implement all these things in my life because I know that the perfection of my walk is made better when I surround myself with the things that build me up in the Lord instead of the things that take me away from the Lord.
Amen.
There's enough things in the world to take you away from the things of God. You don't have to look far. Matter of fact, you could pick up your phone and get on Facebook. You could look at the TV shows that are out there. It doesn't mean you don't have to live in a bubble. But you know what? It's important what you think on and what you set your mind to, right? Mm-hmm. Philippians 4:8, think on the things that are good, just, right, noble, anything of a good report. Meditate on those things. Why? Because when you do, your life is enhanced. Your life is better. When you keep your entire focus on the problem in front of you, then that is all you focus on is the problem in front of you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's the analogy of don't throw rocks at the glass house. If there's no sign out there, no one would think about it twice. But you put the sign out there that says don't throw rocks, all you want to do is throw rocks. Because it puts it in the forefront of the mind. Ooh, I shouldn't throw rocks. I'm going to throw a rock. That'd probably be pretty cool. And what are your battles? Is anybody ever in a battle? A few of them, right? Well, I think many times that our success is a battle between our wants. What is it that we want? And you know what? The bigger of the two is going to be the winner. You guys ever heard the story between the two wolves? The good wolf and the bad wolf? There was a grandson who asked his grandfather about the story of the two wolves. And there was a good wolf and a bad wolf. And the grandson said, well, Grandpa, which wolf wins? And the grandpa told the grandson, whichever one you feed. Whatever one you feed. So the good want in your life, feed that versus the bad wants. Because the bad wants lead to bad results. The good wants lead to good results.
Amen.
It's kind of simple, right?
Simple.
It is simple. We just have to apply it. Thank God we don't have to do it within our own strength.
Amen.
Thank God that we can do all things through Him that gives us strength. Amen?
Amen.
So Luke 19:1-10 is the first story I want to talk about. And it says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Everybody remember that. He was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little in stature. Remember that. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in your house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, all murmured, everyone watching, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be with the guest of a man who was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? Amen. So we've got the story here of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He is collecting taxes for the Romans, not for the Jews. He is looked upon, although he's Jewish, he's looked upon by his people, as somebody who is not right, as a thief, if you will, okay? But he knew there was something about this Jesus. Because he was Jewish, he knew the scriptures. He knew that there was an importance about it. But what Zacchaeus did is he wanted to see Jesus. Matter of fact, he wanted to meet Jesus. Now, here's some things you got to see. He did not allow the hatred of him to stop him from going out amongst his people. Number one. The other thing is he didn't allow his stature to stop him. You see, he wanted to see Jesus, and he couldn't through the crowd, so he decided to make a move and change. He went to new heights, if you will. Do you understand what I'm saying? He climbed a tree to be able to make a point to see Jesus, and in the turn of that, he was saved, and he repented, and he no longer looked at his riches, but he looked at the glorious riches of God and gave everything away. The main point I want to show here is that he wanted something, and he was willing to do it. I know that there's people listening today or in here today that because of their physical stature, they say things like, I can't. Or because of their status, maybe, they say things like, I can't. And I'm here to tell you, through Christ, you can. Yes. Through Christ, you can. All you are doing when you say you can't is defeat yourself before you even try. And remember, failing isn't bad. Not doing it is a failure. Does that make any sense? So don't allow your physical stature to stop you from doing something, or your physical illness to stop you from doing something. Because when you do it through Christ, it's Him working through you and not you doing it yourself anyways. And you'd be like, well, how do I do that, Pastor Mike? How do I work through Christ? You submit to Him. You allow Him. You ask Him. He is faithful. He is faithful. He hears your prayers. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Well, does that mean I can lift 450 pounds when I'm only, 100 pounds soaking wet? I don't know. But if that's your goal that you want, then probably so. Do you understand what I'm saying? We prejudge things based on our stature. We prejudge things based on our standing in society. Well, there's no way I could do that because they're so much more important than me. Stop it. Amen. Stop it. Because my Bible tells me that I was fearfully and wonderfully made.
That's right.
My Bible tells me that I'm more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
My Bible tells me that I'm victorious. My Bible says that I can overcome. Right? My Bible also says that he that has begun a good work in me will carry it out to completion.
Yes.
Amen.
Sometimes it's helpful to preach yourself happy and to remind yourself of these things.
Yes, sir.
So that you don't sell yourself short. I just can't do that. Stop it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You have to, in order to succeed, you need to win the battle between the wants. I think I just want to chill out for a little bit. Well, that's fine. Chill out, but that's all you'll get is a life of chilling out and just relaxing and not moving anywhere else in life. My note says he wanted Jesus more than his riches and was willing to climb to new heights to do it. So today, ask yourself, am I willing to climb to new heights to get what I want? Amen? Luke 8, 43 through 48. This is about the woman with the issue of blood. And a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, which has spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She went broke trying to be healed. She came behind him, Jesus, and touched the border of his garment, the hem of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stopped. She was healed. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude is around you, and they've pressed against you, and you're saying, 'Who touched me?'" And Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceived that virtue is gone out of me." In other words, power left him. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Verse 48, "And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace.'" Yes. Now, what is the significance of this story? The significance of this story is in her culture, she was known or seen as dirty. She was seen as unclean. When a woman in the Jewish culture during their time of the month, they were known or seen as unclean. It was an unclean period. Well, she had this issue that hadn't let up for 12 years. She was known as somebody who was unclean, an outsider, an outcast. She was going to the natural areas trying to see what she could do. She was going to the doctors looking for healing. She spent her life saving, still nothing. Now, here's the significance. She wanted a successful healing. Amen? So in her knowing that she was unclean, still walked into a crowd of people, knowing that they were going to view her as somebody that shouldn't be out there with them. And even more so than that, she wanted to succeed so much and receive that healing that she knew scripture in Matthew and Malachi that says, "The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings." The hem of the garment of the tallit is known as the wings. She knew by scripture that if she touched his wings, the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. And she pushed through the crowd in her uncleanliness to touch the Messiah. And said, boom, and was instantly healed. She didn't allow the circumstances of her life, she didn't allow the illness of her life to stop her. The battle between wants was overcome, and she succeeded. She did not want to go out into the crowd and be viewed that way, but she wanted more to be healed. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see the bigger picture of things? Can you put your spiritual eyes and ears on for a minute and just see that every time that we try to do our wants in the natural, it's not as good as the wants that we do through God? Yes. Every time that we put Him before everything, my marriage is a success and did not fail because I put God first. And my wife did the same. If we wouldn't have done that, it would have ended in shambles. It would have been a statistic. It would have been another check off. Well, there's another family that's divorced. There's another mother raising two kids without a father. There's enough of that going on in this world, amen? Isn't there? We don't have to add to it. Why? Because we're better than that. Because we can push through. Now, I know that if two couples don't want to work things out, then you can't push through. But when both put Jesus number one, that's the winner, amen? And so we move on. My note says she knew what she wanted and she was willing to step out of her comfort zone. Anybody have trouble stepping out of your comfort zone? You see, when we are afraid or unwilling to step out of the area that we're most comfortable in, many times we will never succeed in the goal that we want. We will never reach it. We will have the thought, we will have a desire, but we will never make it because we've never made the change. Step out of your comfort zone. Be like Zacchaeus and rise to new heights. Amen? 1 Samuel 17, 19 through 27. We're talking about David and Goliath. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. And he took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench. As the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. And all of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that came up surely to defy Israel? He has come up, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." I'm reading that on purpose. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after the manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that kills him." David, a little guy, an entire Israel army going against the Philistines. The Philistines have one giant in their army named Goliath. And he steps out in front of, Goliath steps out in front of the Philistine army, and he shouts out obscenities to the Israelites. "You people, I will cut your head off. I'll stab you with a spear. I'm going to totally, utterly annihilate you." And the entire army shook with fear. Little tiny David, young in age. He's like, "Hey, what's all the ruckus about? What's really going on?" And so they tell him, "Hey, here's the deal. There's this giant out there. He's got a sword and a spear and all kinds of armor on, and he's big, and we're afraid of him. We're not going to go out." They weren't going to succeed. Their battle between the wanting to survive and be safe versus wanting to succeed in battle were two different things, and they were losing. Because, you see, although they serve our God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, they didn't have the faith. Their faith was wavering because they were allowing fear to overcome them in every area. But little David, he stands out there and he looks and he's thinking, "Who is this guy? I serve the King of Kings. I serve the Lord of Lords. Who is this guy to be able to do anything? How can this uncircumcised Philistine defy the Israel army? How can he do such a thing? My God is bigger than him." So David, in his boldness, takes a stone to a sword fight. Come on, right? You got a sword and a spear, I got a rock. But my God is bigger than you.
That's right.
He knew. But in that, David, being a shepherd boy, tending the flock, being out in the wilderness, says, "What's in this for me? What do I get out of this?" And they said, "Oh, well, check it out, man. You're going to get rich, and you're going to get the king's daughter, and man, all kinds of good stuff is going to come from it." He's like, "Cool, sign me up. Where do I go?" Does any of this make sense?
Yeah, buddy.
Was David successful?
Yes, he was.
Because he put the want of succeeding above the want of just living. You see, a while ago I gave a message on the difference between surviving and thriving. Did you know that the Israelites, if David wouldn't have conquered Goliath, and Goliath went out and won the battle over the Israelites, did you know that they probably would have survived, but they would have been captives to the Philistines?
Good word.
But because David stepped out, not only did they survive, they thrived.
Amen.
They became victors in the battles that were to follow. David became king, and we know that he wasn't perfect, but he had what? A heart after God. A heart after God. So, success in our life is a battle between our wants. I want God. And I want God in my life more than anything else. Because I have learned that when I put God number one over every circumstance, I have the peace that passes all understanding. And I have the joy that is unspeakable.
Yes.
And every time I step out of that, my wife is really quick to remind me. I'm telling you. So what do we do about this? Coming from me. And she's like, relax. God's got it. Oh, you're right. Okay. Surround yourselves. Surround yourselves. You're not in it by yourself, guys.
Amen.
You're not in it by yourself. We all face giants. Amen. Question would be is, what are your giants? Are you willing to fight them? Are you willing to win? Are you willing to do what it takes to conquer them? Are you willing to say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Even though you don't have the same type of weaponry, did you know that our weapons are not carnal, but mighty in the spirit for pulling down strongholds? Did you know that we have the power of heaven's armies within us through the Spirit of God?
Yes.
Did you realize that? Stop allowing your giants to act and say they are bigger than your God.
Come on.
Stop allowing the giants to say that they are bigger than your God.
Yeah.
All of us that believe on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior have the Spirit of God living in us, which means that all of us have power. Say, I have power.
I have power.
Now, let me say this, and this is the final statement for closing here. Even if you are not walking out your life in the power of the Spirit that lives in you, God is still bigger than your problems. Even if you wake up and you fail to be that mighty man of God, or you fail to be that mighty woman of God, God is still bigger than the problem that you're having.
Yes.
What I am trying to show you or tell you is that God changes not. He is still God in your life, and He is still bigger than any obstacle that you will ever face. You want to succeed in life? Make your want Jesus. You put Jesus number one, everything else will work out. And I don't care if you go through problems in the midst of it. It still will work out.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
All
we don't know all of the behind-the-scenes situations that take place. But all I know is that when I put my faith in Him, my life is enhanced and my life is better.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen?
God bless you. Let's stand to our feet. Close in prayer. I always pray from the heart, and I'll continue to pray from the heart. I'm going to read a little bit of a prayer here. Just believe with me. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this time that you have given us, and I thank you for everyone here, our families, and those that are listening online, Father. Father, I pray that everyone within earshot, Lord, that they don't, if they don't know you, Father, that they would surrender every worldly desire and just seek your face. Father, I thank you that you give us success in life when we come to you. Father, it's win-win to serve you and to be a part of you. I thank you for the refreshing today. And so, Lord, as I pray this with my brothers and sisters, that we long for those moments early in faith when we felt your closeness and your joy, your energy and your zest for life. And Father, we confess that our daily grind has ground down our passions for you, but we also confess that we allow you to take our cares of the world and to choke them out with the joy of the gospel. Lord, I thank you that you'll turn our heart towards you again, and fix our eyes on you, and that we fix our that you fix our heart on you. Help us to reset our faith in our life starting today. Renew our heart, renew our life, for you and your ways. And help us see the daily routines of life as moments to gracefully submit to your will. And Father, I just simply say thank you for being our Lord. Thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for empowering us with the Holy Spirit who brings us comfort and gives us the ability, Lord, to do more than what we can on our own. Father, be with my brothers and sisters, those that are dealing with issues. I thank you for your divine hand of healing. In Jesus' glorious name, amen. God bless you and have a wonderful week.